Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. Where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Well, we are venturing away from our traditional, you know, all of our experts talking on the podcast every week, because I found this guest today is doing such amazing work, right? And I want to tell you about Bob. This is Bob. His name is Bob Bryant. He's the Chief Technology Officer of Mission Canine Rescue. It's an animal welfare group, and they're dedicated solely, you guys, to rescuing, reuniting, rehoming, repairing, and rehabilitating American working dogs. And you can find more about them at missioncaninerescue.org. But most of you guys don't know this. I didn't know this, that Veterans Day, is it called Canine Veterans Day, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. That comes up March 13th. And
correct.
So that is tomorrow. And we wanted to talk about these dogs that do so much amazing work, right? These dogs have worked alongside servicemen and women doing high stress work, such as explosive detection, tracking, patrol, search and rescue, and attack. And, you know, a lot of us think, Bob, incorrectly, as I'm studying about this, that, you know, they retire and that they're in really great homes, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And I really do want to hear more about that, that, you know, obviously we don't take care of our veterans very well in this country. And it doesn't sound like we take very good care of the dogs that have worked alongside our veterans. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, unfortunately, with a lot of companies, working dogs are disposable. They are equipment rather than, you know, person type, or let's just say things that feel pain. They treat them as military assets. They treat them as contract assets. There are some good companies that are great with their dogs. There are also some horrible companies that provide poor nutrition. They're kibble fed about half the rations. We've received dogs home from abroad, not military owned dogs, but contract working dogs. These are dogs that are owned by private companies that do the same jobs as dogs trained by the military, except they're just owned by private individuals. We've seen dogs come home that should weigh 80 pounds that weigh 40 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Simply because when the job is done, when the contractor runs out of money, the dogs are the first to suffer. No vet care. Some of them don't get out of their kennel for months, and their rations are few and far between. Kind of a sad situation, considering the contribution they've made to whoever they did their work for.
How do you guys even know about these dogs, Bob? I mean, do these companies contact you? Do you know about these companies and you actually put out a call that says, hey, don't dispose of these dogs. Let us try to rehabilitate and rehome them. How do you find out about them?
It's a combination of yes, yes, and yes to everything you've just mentioned. At first, back in 2010, when I first met my two partners, they were with another organization that was primarily bringing military-owned working dogs home to be reunited with their former handlers. And we were told after that about some of the contract dogs that were overseas or in bad shape. We initially reached out to these companies to see if we could be an intermediary to save them face, rescue dogs, you know, without One of them, back in 2015, there were a group of handlers, Filipinos, that had their passports taken from them by a Kuwaiti contractor, and they didn't want to pay them. So they took their passports so they couldn't leave. And then in protest, the Filipinos euthanized a big group of dogs and posed with them in a pile. Well, we never wanted to see that happen again. So we proactively reached out to this company, which, quite frankly, you know, I didn't even want to have a conversation with these people, but it wasn't about them. It was about the dogs. And we arranged to safely get the rest of the dogs out of Kuwait. We found them all homes, and it was a good situation. I'd like to say that things are better now, but again, there's a lot of bad ones with only a very few good contractors out there. And even the military, who was supposed to start sending dogs home from overseas at their expense back in 2016, that was when Obama signed a portion of the National Defense Authorization Act, they got away from they got away with it until 2022 by saying that foreign operating bases were U.S. soil. And so they didn't want to bring the dogs home. Only recently have we seen any cooperation from the military, and that they have put dogs on a couple of rotator flights from Japan, saving us literally $6,000 a dog to get home. But, you know, still we bear the bulk of the transportation cost.
So explain this to me and to our listeners. What Sure. are these contractors? Who are these contractors? Are they breeders of these type of dogs, much like, you know, in the PBR rodeo, right? So you have the bulls and they have the contractors. So they raise the bulls and then they contract them out. Is that how it works with these military dogs or the working dogs?
In some cases, yes. Excuse me. That's correct. Now, there are a couple of good companies. AM Canine is a very good contract working dog company, as is Von Lick Kennels. Their handlers handle their dogs wherever they go overseas. They always come back. They're always fed well. They're always treated well. The problems we see are with contractors, let's just call them rednecks, to be short. Okay. They're backyard breeders, trainers. You know, they've been told that they can make a lot of money by training and putting out working dogs. And so they'll contract some of these little small companies. They'll ship a group of dogs over to Jordan or Iraq or someplace like that, where there is someone that needs maybe port inspections or maybe bomb detection at an airport, and they don't have in-country dogs. They'll send them over there. They'll be handled by foreigners. Foreigners don't treat them well. Most of them don't like dogs. We had a Malinois that was terrified of men when he came here because he'd been beaten and choked because he wouldn't release his toy. Because when a working dog gets his toy, he's through working, and he needs to release it to get the urge to work again. Well, there's only two ways you get them to release it. If they want, you beat them or you choke them out. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. And I watched this shell of a dog, you know, start to improve finally until he passed after 3 years after he was retired. Just sad.
It is sad. And you know, I have a German Shepherd. And
me too.
I just, oh my gosh, Bob, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get emotional, but it just, it's awful. It's just awful to think about these dogs that are used, you know, as equipment, choked out, left. You know, I was reading about, you haven't even gotten all the dogs out from Afghanistan. Is that true?
That's true. Supposedly, all military working dogs that were government-owned were pulled from Bagram Airport. However, there were a bunch of Canadian working dogs that were attached to U.S. forces that were left there. And the Taliban grabbed the dogs, and they're using the dogs for their own work purposes. And when they get through with them, I'm thankful that we have a person over there who they have chosen to give these dogs to when they no longer suit their purposes. And we brought home five or six of them over the last year at great expense. But again, you know, they don't deserve to get stuck over there. They didn't ask to do this work.
So there are you guys also working? I do want to talk about the rescuing, the reuniting, and the rehoming. But I also want to ask about this. Is there something that all of us can do that you guys are doing that demands that our government or whomever is allowing this to happen stop and to treat these animals in the right way? Where's PETA? You know, where's PETA in this?
Don't get me going on PETA. well, I got two suggestions for you. First of all, there is a bill that will be introduced hopefully next month into Congress. I don't have the bill number yet because it hasn't been assigned. That is a reintroduction of a bill we co-sponsored back in 2018 that states that military working dogs, when retired from their service, will receive lifetime health care. Right now, when a military working dog is deemed as excess and is retired from the service, they get nothing. And somebody said, oh, well, we need to give them a medal. No, we need to give them lifetime health care. So the bill calls for, and this is a paltry allocation from the waste of our government as a whole, their spending, right at $700,000 a year that will be given to nonprofit organizations such as Mission Canine that spend 70% or more of their donations on their work, and they can prove how much they're spending on veterinary care. A lot of organizations throw donors' money into marketing, and they call it a program expense when it's not. So there's going to have to be some accountability. And these dogs, whoever they're retired with, hopefully their handlers, if they need veterinary care, they reach out to us. We reach out to the vet. We'll have a government purchase card. Boom. Pay the bill. That'll be fantastic if your supporters could contact their local congressman and say, hey, this never made a vote back in 2018. These dogs serve. These dogs suffer. These dogs need lifetime care. Vote yes on this bill. 700 grand is a drop in the bucket compared to the overall government waste in the United States.
Absolutely.
The second thing they can do is, well, you're not going to get the government to pay a dime for the care and keeping of contract working dogs since they never had a dog in the hunt, so to speak, is to have your constituent, your supporters call their congressperson, their representative, their state and local people and say, hey, we're aware the contract working dogs are being sent abroad without certainty of a trip home, without certainty of a certain standard of vet care, without certainty of a high quality of nutrition. We want the United States to require that any contractor taking working dogs abroad or in the United States post a bond equivalent to the cost of their trip home, their expected care. And that way the dogs get it. There's not, oh, we're sorry, boy, you know, we can't pay the staff this week, or we can't feed you, so we're not going to feed you.
So when the military person, the handler, comes home, do they, and maybe they're coming home because they're wounded, maybe they're coming home for different reasons, and they don't have the ability to take that dog with them. What is that status? How does that happen? You have a military person handling the dog. They've been with this dog. They know the dog. They come home. What next?
Well, you may not be aware that a military working dog can have up to 5 handlers in its career. The military internally determines which of the handlers will receive the dog upon retirement. You know, one may have already reached out, but for whatever reason, they don't want to give him to that handler. Maybe they want to give him to the final handler. And so, you know, they will determine who gets the dog. But there's many times that a handler can't take the dog. Let's say you've got a very aggressive patrol dog that's toy crazy, and you've got a 2-year-old in the house that wants to grab the dog's toy. You know, bad outcome. So that handler will then pass the option to another handler. And then, you know, if he wants to come visit the dog, they're always cool with it. And they have a good relationship that way. Did I answer your question effectively?
Yeah.
I think I may have missed a part.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And so these border, you know, like the border patrol dogs, right? So they're drug sniffing dogs. They sit when typically when or however they indicate, typically it's a sit, right? When they indicate that there's an issue. And then they get their toy, right? And so is that what you're talking about? That type of training that we see if you're going across the border and you have the dog sniffers?
Yes. That I mean, these dogs train like athletes their entire lives. They're either imprinted on narcotics or on explosives, and they are taught to detect among a number of substances. I have a retired police dog from Canada who's a drug and patrol dog. This dog finds me drugs all the time when we're out walking. He'll lure
Oh,
him a bush.
gosh.
I'll look down there and I'll think he's looking for a tennis ball. No, it's a crack pipe. Thanks, Navy. I appreciate that. We think we'll leave that there today. He finds all kind of things.
It's his
But
name. His name is
yes,
Navy.
PD Canine Navy. I don't know. Let's see if you can see him down here. Hey, lazy. Stick your head up. Navy. He's not gonna do it.
He's like, I don't work anymore. What, how old is he?
He is a 7-year-old bicolor German Shepherd, and he's a jerk.
What does that mean?
It means he's very handler protective. It means that I have to keep my head on a swivel when I'm out with him because he has tried to bite someone who walked up on me. That was a friend who was hard of hearing, and I kept telling him, Richard, you need to stay there. This goof was just laying down. He's kind of watching everything, and I'd only had him 2 weeks, so I didn't know what his triggers were. Next thing I know, here's Richard. Sticks his hand out, up comes Jaws. I just turned and took it. And he looked at me and he said, did that dog just bite you? I said, yes, sir, he did. He said, was he trying to bite me? Yes, sir, he was. And of course, Navy's just looking at me like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, but
He's
you
trained
really
that
got to
way.
watch. Yeah, he was trained that way. No, he's really something else. Now, he'd be your best friend in 30 minutes with a few chicken treats. But until then, he don't like anybody. I pity the person that breaks in my house at night or breaks in the car while I'm in the store.
Right? You
Yes.
know, yeah, so we can't call him a jerk, Bob, because he is just doing his job, okay?
He's a jerk. And he knows he's a jerk.
You know, so this leads me into my next question, in regards to rehabilitation. I mean, it doesn't seem like just the regular Joe would be able to take one of these dogs, Bob, because they are so highly trained. And what do you do? I mean, they're doing their job, and then they accidentally bite somebody, and then they're in trouble for doing their job. So this is a tough situation, isn't it?
I generally find that PD canines bite when they need to bite. They bite when the handler commands them to or when someone aggresses their handler. Sorry, not sorry. Their rehabilitation, you're not going to take the training out of the dog. A lot of people ask me, Bob, do our working dogs come back, some of them with PTSD? And the answer is absolutely they do. And then the next question is, well, how do you fix it? You don't fix it. You learn how to determine what triggers whatever PTSD activity they exhibit, and you learn to avoid those triggers. And in time, you'll have a happier and a calmer dog as a result of it. With police dogs, patrol canines specifically, we do not adopt them to the public unless they are former handlers, because the last thing we want is for the public to get a hold of a bite trained dog, and they're going to try to get it to protect the house. And you got a 10-year-old dog. Sorry, don't ask grandpa to fight for you. Maybe he'll win, but he's going to have some problems as a result of it. So we're encouraging people to also encourage local law enforcement departments to have a plan in place when their dogs retire. They don't. We get offered at least three law enforcement dogs a week, either because they're aggressive, they've gone up leash and bitten the handler, or the handler's getting a new dog, the handler can't take it, and oh, well, we'll just put the dog down. I hear that all the time. Well, you brought this asset in, you train the asset, The dog provided countless dollars of revenue and seizures for you. Do the right thing. Take care of the dog. We're not a hospice. We're not a lifetime care center. We have to be able to adopt the dogs we take in. So these police departments need to have a plan B, even if it's a great kennel with exercise yards or whatever, that they care for their old dogs. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's, disposable pets, right? So we saw this during COVID. Everybody wanted a puppy. And
Belgian Malinois, God help me.
Right. And yes. So I have a neighbor right now who just reached out to me and said, you know, my daughter has a Belgian Malinois and she needs to get rid of it because it's aggressive towards other dogs. And I said, well, if you take that dog to a shelter and it's labeled as aggressive, it's probably going to get put down. Two, if you take it in and you don't disclose, then it's probably going to cause an issue with another family. And you know, is it a training issue? Yes, probably. And people don't have the money, the time, or the desire to train a dog. You know, our German is a Schutzen trained dog. So not on the protection side. I mean, yes, they do the bite work, but I would not say that's exactly the, you know, it's nowhere near a protection dog, right? Like, like what you're talking about, that these dogs are that trained. And we wish that she was a little more that way. But this dog is so well trained. Why? Because we have spent so much money and so much time training it. Right.
Sure.
So it doesn't chase wildlife. It walks right beside you. It's voice command. You know, but most of the dog, you know, most everybody's solution, just put them on a leash. Well, why don't you train your dog? But I'm sort of getting off on the training.
Oh, I agree with you. Navy is very good off leash. Unless there are idiots in the park with other dogs off leash that run up on him. He doesn't like other dogs. So, you know, he's leashed when he needs to be, but it's nice when he can just walk with me. He stays with me. He obeys most commands. He's hard-headed. If he smells something he likes, he's going to ignore me, but the rest of the time he'll listen.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about rehoming. let me ask you, Bob,
sure.
We've covered, you know, I want you to send me back the bill number whenever you get that.
I'll even send you a copy of the bill.
Okay.
I've got that now. I just don't have the number for it.
Okay, so we want to give our listeners something to do to help these dogs. One is to contact our constituents. We want to, and so I'll get all that information from you that I can send out, and that I can talk about after this podcast as well. But what is the main thing that you need from our listeners? What is the main thing that would help Canine Mission's mission? What is that?
Well, Mission Canine, unfortunately, like any other nonprofit organization, the nature of the beast is to have its hand stuck out for money.
Mm-hmm.
Every nonprofit organization wants money. How do you know which one to give it to? Well, there's a bunch of charity rating sites that are for-profit that make money based on giving out ratings, who they themselves are nonprofits with executives making $300,000 a year, and me wondering, why are they making $300,000 a year and trying to judge other organizations? But a nonprofit should be thrifty. It should spend as much of its money on its mission as possible. We spend 93.6% out of every dollar on our work. However, it almost bit us in the rear in December, and I was looking at about 6 weeks left of operating funds with no reserve because we'd spent 93% of that money. So we've got to find a little bit finer line between an acceptable spend to mission and going broke, spending too much to the mission. But when somebody gives to Mission Canine, they are paying for military working dogs coming home to their former handlers to live out the remainder of their lives with someone they know and who loves them and who will provide them care. You're giving money to bring contract working dogs home from abroad that have endured horrid conditions that deserve a second chance at being just a pet and getting the love and a lifetime home that they desire. And you're helping us care for dogs that are in our care at this point, whether it's for surgery or for monthly just boarding costs. I mean, we have a facility, a canine ranch, Veteran Canine Ranch in Magnolia, Texas, where we house all these dogs, where we rehab them, where we teach them how to be just a pet again. And we find out all their little quirks before they're offered for adoption. If they're fence aggressive, we know it. If they're crate aggressive, we know it. Food aggressive, you name it, we test for it. We occasionally even have a test cat.
A test cat.
Yeah, the test cats get neurotic, so they're few and far between. My dog actually likes our test cat at home. They get along. He'll walk by and the cat will slap the crap out of him and he doesn't kill the cat. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. So how many test cats have you gone through, Bob?
Well, none of them have died. It's just there are these barn cats that show up and this and that. You know, we don't have any particular test cats.
Good. So, and my German, so my last German, the German that's on the website, that's Asta. She was a West German show line, so would not work in any kind of military situation. I mean, I think they do have some of the slant back dogs, but typically they don't last as long as your, you know, your working lines. But she was 15 when she passed on last November. And so my German that I have now is a working line. She'll be 6. She's fabulous. We are actively looking for a puppy. But as you can imagine, with the business that I'm in, I'm looking for a very clean, you know, no toxins in the body type dog. What can I just ask you this? This may be a little off topic. Those dogs that go into the military, they have to be fully vaccinated, all those toxins going right in their body, all that jazz, right?
Correct.
That's tough. These dogs, my goodness. I would imagine that they're not fed great food, right? They've got a lot of toxins in their body. They probably
Purina Pro Plan, I think, is what Lackland's feeding. I'm not sure.
That's bad.
Navy eats raws from New Zealand wet food. He's got freeze-dried New Zealand lamb. I go broke feeding this dog.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But you know what? He looks pretty good. I don't know. I was looking at his coat.
He's fat.
Well, then get him off any kind of processed food, Bob, and don't love him to death and he'll be great. Just kind of wondering about their health. I mean, it's tough on them, right? They're not fed great food. They're having to work really hard. But they can be different, right? So I'm not here to say that every dog that gets adopted out should get on raw food, but I am. They should.
They need a quality diet, whatever it is. It needs to be high quality. None of this crap food from Walmart. No Blue Buffalo.
It's all the same, Bob. Yeah. You know, if you listen to my podcast, all kibble is the same. Period, bar none. It's high carbs, it's substandard, it's synthetic. It's not what they were created to make. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the dog's teeth. You get bit a lot, right?
Yeah, dogs are meat eaters. I understand that.
So I'll get off of that soapbox. But tell us a little bit about how you rehab these dogs. So, for instance, you got a dog and, all they've known for years. What's the average age of a typical dog that you
about rehab? 9 years old.
About nine years old. Okay.
So a lot some are younger, some are older, but let's call 9 a mean average.
Okay. 9 years they've been doing the same thing, right? It's in their brain.
Every day.
How in the world do you, I mean, must be amazing trainers, right? A lot of people don't even understand that they are rewarding bad behavior, right? In training. How do you guys flip that? You said you don't flip a switch.
You learn to, these dogs, when we adopt them out, if an adopter doesn't have time to walk them at least twice a day, plus playtime, don't waste our time. Don't apply to adopt a dog. You know, a Belgian Malinois that's bored will eat your couch. I guarantee it. I've seen it. We can't train whatever out of them. What we can do is we make them comfortable inside a home. We teach them that the inside of the house is better than the outside of the house. We potty train them if we get to that before someone adopts them. Again, we take stock of everything that triggers them. We're going to know if that dog likes other dogs, if it hates other dogs, if it hates women, if it hates black people, brown people. We've got every color of the rainbow that works with us, valuable parts of our team. And that's crucial because these dogs, the areas they work, Navy is aggressive toward Indian people for some reason because he was around a lot of Indians up in Canada where this was. We had another dog, aggressive to Hispanics. Another one, a dog from Mexico, aggressive as hell toward white people. Go figure. So, you know, they're equal opportunity haters. We that's right. And yeah. we try to find out, you know, if they're triggered by any particular thing, you know, can you pet them while they're eating their food? Just what goes on in their head? And we don't really try to modify it. We just try to support it with behavior that's counter to what produces the bad action. I can't tell you that we really train them to do anything. We just try to reintegrate them and make them not think that every day they have to work. But they still work for fun. One of our military dogs, dog that's passed, his name is military working dog, Icar. He was reunited with his handler, Vance. Vance is a outdoor conservationist up in Idaho. And Icar learned how to find elk antler sheds. And he would spend his days roaming the woods with Vance and finding these antlers. And you get $500 or $600 a pair for those things.
Wow.
So he was happy. Vance was happier.
Tell me about some more positive reuniting situations or rehoming situations.
Oh, great one. Military working dog Attila and his handler JD, we reunited them up at Chicago or O'Hare about 2 years ago. Attila is a big, fluffy Czech Shepherd, real chill dog. And my partner, Kristen, who does all the heavy-duty transporting of all these dogs, she's walking through the airport with him, and they hadn't seen JD yet. And JD yelled out some little squealy sound that only Attila would know. Attila busted loose and Kristen and went running. That reunion is on YouTube if you want to look for it.
But how do I find it? How do our listeners find it?
Just search for Mission Canine Reunion. And yeah, there's tons of them. If you search on Google, we're all over Google for Mission Canine, for reunite military working dogs and different things. People can find out a lot just by a quick Google away.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a lot of dogs that need homes? Do you have people that constantly reach out that want to take on these military dogs?
Here's the issue. The answer is yes. We have, I don't know, we probably got 500 adoption applications. The problem is out of 500, there may be 20 that are qualified. Why? Because most people that come and want to adopt a dog, a lot of them have a plethora of pets. And most working dogs don't like other dogs. So it's not a fit. Or you've got a home that's got small children and you've got, you know, dogs that are toy aggressive. Not a fit. And the main problem is you have homes that cannot afford the cost of care for a senior dog. And if you can't afford the cost of the dog's care, if the dog's not going to get to go to the vet, we're not going to adopt the dog to you. We have to know the dog's going to be taken care of.
Well, I'm going to say this right now for all our listeners, but most of the folks that listen to my podcast already know this. If you put your dog on a species appropriate diet, you're going to get rid of a lot of ailments. Now,
true.
Can we overcome all the toxins that have gone into a dog? No, but nutrition is key. Meat, bones, organ, and fat. That's what it's all about with these canines. Okay. So you're going to see, just mentally, Bob, we see anxious dogs. I don't know about PTSD, but think about this, Bob. If you go out and you sit at a Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever's there and you eat 12 donuts, you're probably not going to be the happy, lovable Bob you are right now.
Well, let me tell you a personal story about the happy, lovable Bob. Happy, lovable Bob weighed 265 pounds most of his life until he got into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu 14 years ago. 7 months ago, I finally decided to quit eating sugar. I had a nutter butter peanut butter cookie habit of about three, four packs of cookies a day. I'd stop at the convenience store, eat the cookies. I was in pure living hell for the first week because I wanted my sugar. I didn't get it. Second week, it got better. Now, 7 months into it, I don't miss the crap. I've lost a little more fat. I have more energy. I don't have the brain fog that I used to have. I mean, sugar spikes your insulin. I don't have to tell you that. And I am on a carnivore diet. I eat meat, cheese, dairy. That's about it. What I consider a species appropriate diet. I don't get into the vegan thing. You know, I'm more about protein.
You probably follow Dr. Paul Saladino then.
I know Saladino. I prefer, Ken Berry's a good doctor. Also, Baker, big dude. I forget. My wife's the one. She had some allergy issues. She got psoriasis breakouts from eating. You know, she used to be I used to get fruit smoothie to death for my health. And then she started reading, watching all these carnivore people. She tried it. Tons of health issues just went, they're gone. Right. And I resisted it at first because I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat.
Sure.
You know, I ate what I ate all my life. You know, screw you. I'm going to eat what I want. But finally, I decided, okay, I'll give it a try. And it really did make a difference.
Well, think about it, Bob. Dogs do not have the hormone to lower their insulin. They have it to raise it, but not lower it. Dogs were never meant to eat the high carbs. And that's what we see in all kibble, at least 45 to 65% sugar, synthetic vitamins, minerals that don't even get in the body. But we see this all the time, skin issues, the brain issue, right? So dogs are far easier trained when they're not jacked up on sugar, right? And it always makes me so angry because I say to people, all right, you got a dog who's anxious. You got a dog that's hyper. You're feeding him sugar 24/7. And then he's getting in trouble because he doesn't obey. And I'm like, take some responsibility and stop jacking him up with cookies, cakes, and chemicals, as we call it in all kibble, right? And I love what you guys are doing. I don't know. You got to be a really special person. You guys are really special people because I would be crying every day, right? You just talked about it and I started crying on the podcast, just thinking about a dog being choked out, right? Or being left and starved or killed or kicked or just not even acknowledging that these are living beings, that they're some type of equipment. And they are. I get it. They're an asset. Right. But gosh, I don't, how do you guys do it?
Because we have to do it because there's no one else that's doing it. And there's been a couple of organizations that have been shut down because they were hoarding and not taking care of the dogs recently. In fact, there's some up at a SPCA up in Pennsylvania right now that were seized from one of these so-called rescues that didn't do the right things for the dog. It's tough. I mean, I hear the heartache in my partner's voices every day. I mean, I've got the easy part of this. My job is to make sure the wheels stay greased and the machine keeps, you know, running. They're the ones that are running the country, running the world, you know, taking these dogs from place to place. Just to let you know, in 10 years since we started this, we have brought over 1,300 dogs home. 675 of those dogs have been reunited with former handlers, and the rest have been adopted into loving homes. And we've spent over $2 million on their veterinary care in that time frame as well.
Wow.
And the biggest thing we see with working dogs with healthcare, due to the substances they're trained around, we see a lot of cancer.
Well, and you know, you don't listen to my podcast yet, Bob, but
not yet. No, I, we've our first meeting today, so no, I haven't, but I will.
But it's not just that. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but all of these shots and these vaccines that these dogs get, you know, we see the cancer rate skyrocket, right? So we just did a rabies webinar and, you know, there's just so much to it. And I get it. It's all very convoluted and the mandates and the rules. We're trying to change that, right? We're trying to waken people up to what really is healthy and what isn't, and the science and the facts. But nevertheless, these dogs are subjected to all of that, right? All of it. And these are special dogs. I mean, these dogs have saved people's lives. That's what they do. They save people's lives. And the thought that after they do their job, they just get dumped kills me. It should kill everyone. I mean, it just is unbelievable to me.
There's a disconnect as well with the public. The public wants to see the dogs come home and they'll give toward that. But after the dogs come home and they need health care, sometimes you get crickets when you ask for help.
Well,
there's we have 122,000 very, I would say, very active followers on our Facebook page. If those 122,000 would give us $1 a month, I'd never ask for money because we'd have what we need, but because everybody is pulling at them, you give me money, give me money, give me money. It's, you just kind of, sometimes you take your chances. We have to ask correctly and we have to ask wisely and in a timely manner. And then we're generally not disappointed.
Right. Right. No, I get it. And our daughter's a vet and, you know, a lot of these vet clinics are being bought out by corporate vet clinics and
Banfield.
Oh yeah, VCA, Banfield, all of them, right? And their costs are just astronomical now, right? Because they got to pay all their shareholders and stuff.
I'm on a Banfield wellness plan. Banfield bought out my veterinarian that was fantastic, wonderful lady. She still works there, and she deserved every penny she got. She built a hell of a practice. But my cat went in yesterday or 2 days ago for dental cleaning, part of his wellness plan. And of course, they find two bad teeth. $1,470 later, here I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what you do, Bob. You give that cat a raw meaty bone. That cleans her teeth. So, right. I mean, there's, you know, I just have to throw all that in that because this is the podcast.
I didn't know cats were bone eaters.
Cats are, bones. Look, you know, have you ever been around a mountain lion, Bob?
Yes, and I hope never be again. I ran up on one up in the Santa Monica Mountains one time, and it was literally a crap your pants moment. But he didn't want to see me any more than I wanted to see him, so he skedaddled.
Well, your cat is just a smaller version of that guy. So we had a kill right out here outside of our house because I'm up in the mountains of Colorado, right? I'm up in Evergreen.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Nice. And so we have, you know, all of them. And we had the game camera on that kill for an entire week. And it was so interesting to watch what animals came and what they pulled out and what they, you know, took. Mm-hmm. But if you look in your cat's mouth, right, which I'm sure you have, those little pointy teeth, they rip, shred, and tear everything. So we have a lot of cats. You know, cats are meat eaters far more than dogs. They're obligate carnivores. They must have meat. But, you know, the narrative got changed and the kibble companies came in and blah, blah, blah. It could go on forever. But
yeah, I've never fed a cat anything other than meat. Yeah, the whole kibble thing for cats is a joke. They don't eat vegetables. Sorry.
No, and we actually have a veterinarian here, not far from us, that does the old vegan thing for cats.
And well, there's some wackos everywhere. I guess you got your share up there too, huh?
They're everywhere, Bob. Yes, they are. But Mission Canine, you guys are doing a great service. And as you said, if just all of our listeners would just donate $1 a month, right? Just $1 a month. This could help bring home the dogs that are not in great situations right now, to help reunite them with their handlers, to help give them the medical care that they need, or even get them on a species appropriate diet. I want you guys to all go out there, Google Mission Canine on, or go to YouTube and put in Mission Canine reunions. I want you guys to watch those. Those are powerful. And think about your dog, guys. Think about if your dog was being left somewhere, it was not being treated like the family member that it is, right? These are living, breathing beings that all they want to do is please their owner, please their handler. And then what do they get for that? A big fat nothing, right? Get left somewhere. You know, nobody wants them. Nobody wants to take care of them. We have to change that. We have to get involved. We have to get out of our little box and our lives. And I really do think, Bob, when people reach out and do something in a small way for these animals, it brings such joy and it changes us internally. It changes our outlook on our lives. And there's so much crap going on in the world right now, right? We don't see a whole lot of good. So this is good. This is good. And to be involved in an organization like this is something that we can do on us. If all of us just did a little bit, are you really going to miss a dollar a month, $5 a month, $10 a month? You are not. You're never going to miss it. Right. So do you have something like that, Bob, where people could actually go to your site?
Oh, absolutely.
If and you they say, want to, I want to donate every month, or how's that work?
If they can remember donate.missionk9rescue.org, that'll take them right to our fundraising page. They can see what we're doing. They can see the number of people that support us, and they can make a choice to donate if they choose to.
That's amazing. Well, I so appreciate you coming on the Raw Dog Food Truth today. Well,
can I mention one more thing?
Yeah,
something
absolutely.
This is for you and for anybody in Colorado. When you're down near Colorado Springs, search for Colorado Springs War Dog Memorial. Ruby Ridpath and Wade Ridpath, who are great supporters of ours, erected the Colorado War Dog Memorial 4 years ago. It's a tribute to military and contract working dogs. In fact, we help pay for it with a bunch of honor bricks that have the names of various dogs on it. It's a cool little daytime thing to swing by if you're down in the Springs sometime. Check it out.
Wow, I had no idea. This is the first time I had ever heard of it.
It's called the Colorado War Dog Memorial.
Wow. Colorado War Dog Memorial. We have a huge clientele in the Springs, in the Colorado Springs area. So we definitely will get all of this information out. We'll put all of your links in the podcast. This also will go up as a video on Rumble, and we will send this out in our email list, Bob, to help people become familiar with Mission Canine. And it's just a great, great organization. And I have to ask you this. Whose dog is that beautiful Belgian Malinois on your website, the one that's sitting in that leather chair?
That one. Let me see. Who is it? I think that was MWD Asti, A-S-T-I. They're crazy. Those dogs are everywhere. Navy has his own couch at home that we're not allowed to sit on anymore. It's his. I believe that's MWD Asti, A-S-T-I.
Is that dog still alive?
I think so.
That is
Many of them aren't, but you know, some of them are.
You guys have got to go over there just to see this dog, Mission Canine. It is just one of the most beautiful dogs. Actually, you know what, Bob? That dog looks so much like my dog, only a different color. So my Lassie is black and silver, and that dog is black and red. And I just stared at that dog on your website. That is one of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen.
I've got to jump over there right quick and see what you're talking about, because I don't remember the stage.
So
is he there with the Santa Claus hat guy?
Nope, it's just the dog. And let me see if I can go back. But I was looking at it on your website, and let's see what page that was on. I have to go back over there. But it is,
I'm looking too.
It is just really one of the let's see, I keep hitting the press kit when I go.
Oh, the one in the chair.
Yes, that dog. What is the page that
no,
was on?
That's on our blog. And can I be very candid with you about that dog sitting on the chair? Are you ready to be amazed?
Yes.
That's an AI photo I created.
Oh, it's not even a real dog.
That's a Mal, but it's an AI Mal. It's not real.
Oh my gosh. That is one of the most beautiful pictures.
I told you, didn't I?
You did. Are you real, Bob?
I don't ever purport anything we put here. If it's not real, you know, I don't claim it's real. But, you know, this situation, it drew an absolutely perfect picture of a Malinois for me, and I was happy.
Are you real, Bob? Are you AI?
No, I'm actually a robot. In fact, I'm one of the guys that goes around at night and I change all the batteries in the birds.
Well, I just had to say that was, I just loved that picture. I mean, that would be a picture that I would take and hang in my house. I really would.
Well, good.
You know, I just think it's gorgeous. But Mission Canine, guys, you got to get over Mission Canine. MissionCanine.com, right, Bob? That's right.
No, MissionCanineRescue.org.
Oh, I got it all wrong. MissionCanineRescue.org. Okay. And so there's a place that you can donate. There's a place that you can inquire. Then we will back this up, guys, with information about what you can do with this bill. Okay, that Bob was talking about, and he's going to get me more information on that, and how you can reach out to your constituents to put some pressure on them to say, we've got to do more for these dogs, right? We can't just forget about the dogs. They are our life. You guys all know this. All of our dogs are our life, and our customers say, you know, like you said, my dog eats better than I do. And
he does. Literally, he does.
Yeah, that's awesome. Bob, thank you so much for coming on
thank you.
Raw Dog Food Truth. We really, really love what you guys are doing out there. And we want to see what we can do to help you as well. So get over to missioncaninerescue.org. And remember, everybody, get your dogs on a species-appropriate diet. It's going to help with training. It's going to help with anxiety. You can do that right here at rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps! Snaps!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.